Welcome to Eat the Evidence, a podcast for cake and cookie decorators and sugar artists of all kinds. This is episode number 26 on May 31st, 2018. I'm your host, Kimberly Chapman, and today my guest, Nicole Johnson-Williamson of Chaotic Confections, is on to talk about the perils of shipping cakes for competition, as well as the challenges of shifting what you do in the cake world. So whether you're filling orders from your home kitchen, stocking the shelves of your cake shop, or working hard on your next competition entry, let's get this show started to amuse and inspire you on your sugar arts journey. Joining me now is Nicole Johnson-Williamson from Chaotic Confections in Grand Prairie, Texas. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi, everybody.
Although I gather the Chaotic Confections thing is, are you even done that now? Are you wrapping that up or how's that going?
That is still a thing. That's still a business. I'm still under Chaotic Confections. I'm transitioning to more of an online presence. It's very difficult when we don't have the audience. As far as the customers or whether they want the kind of cakes that I like to do. So I figured people would probably like to watch more than, you know, purchase. So that's why I transitioned over.
Well, like, so I don't know if you know Christy Seguin, but I had her on just a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about how she can sell a lot bigger, bolder, more amazing cakes in Austin than she could when she was living in one of the Carolinas. But, you know, when she, you have to, if you're in a smaller market, you can't sell those big, amazing cakes that you do.
Yeah, I'm in the DFW area because I'm in Dallas.
Okay.
But I guess, but my issue is, I think I had a trouble with reach. I'm originally from a small town in Texas, and the most of my orders came from there, but they were things I didn't want to do. A lot of times, because I'm true artist, have a tendency not to want to copy other people's things. They draw ideas from it, but I never wanted to copy anybody else's cake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's natural to do that. When I did start caking, that's the first thing I would do. Hey, I saw this cake on Pinterest. Can you make this for me? Which is natural. But a lot of people wanted me to make these particular cakes, and they were very, very nice cakes, but very cookie cutter tiered. I don't really like to do tiered cakes. I don't. I like carving. That's my thing. And I never could get the reach I wanted to get. And so I said, well, you know, I may go back to taking orders. I'll still do some here and there, but I won't be trying to make this, you know, a way for order. Then I do the cake. I'm just going to say, oh, I thought of this. I'm going to put this on YouTube. So that's right. Where I'm at right now. I'm transitioning over to that.
Okay. And so do you have the YouTube channel started already, or are you starting that soon?
I already do. It's not that, I mean, I have a few videos on there. They were very, you know, me just trying to test the waters a while back. But I already have a channel. I have a few recordings on there. I'm recording now a few things, trying to figure out how I want to record, because some things are recorded. You can record over and the camera doesn't move. The thing is, mine is very, you have to move it. So I'm trying to still figure out the logistics of it. But yeah, I already have, it's Chaotic Confections. And, you know, I have some videos up already.
Okay, well, I'll make sure in the show notes that there's a link so people can go see it and subscribe, because that's what you want, is people to subscribe.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Please subscribe.
Okay. Yes. Oh, I'll make sure I subscribe. Right when I'm done this, I'll go and subscribe to it.
Thank you.
But although I have to admit, like, I subscribe to all these channels, but I'm more likely to actually see the video when my friends like you post it on Facebook, because I think I subscribe to like about 200 or 300 channels. So,
wow.
Because like I have so many friends who do it, and then there's like all the geek channels. And so I just used to click subscribe to everything. And so now I don't even look at the inbox, like where my subscriptions come, like in the email box. Or if I look at the little bell on YouTube, it's like 241 messages. I'm like, no.
You're like, yeah, okay. If I see it on Facebook, okay.
Right, because, yeah, well, I mean, that's because when I asked you if you wanted to interview, it's because I happened to be looking at Facebook, and I saw you talking about this transition, which was really interesting. So, yeah, if you post, here's my new video on Facebook, I'm actually probably more likely to see that.
Okay, so maybe I should post that on Facebook. Once I load a video, I probably load some of it on Facebook and link it, and then link the whole video to Facebook. Maybe I'll do that way. I think I'm still working on it.
Yeah, well, it's a learning curve. It's one of those social media. I mean, I'm a dinosaur. I have an Instagram account, but I don't do anything with my Instagram account. I have it so I can like the posts that other people make. But I've never actually posted anything on my Instagram myself just because I'm kind of so busy. I used to do Twitter a lot. Now I used to do G+ a lot. Now I do Facebook a lot. But yeah, it's one of those things that as soon as one of these podcasts comes out, I have to go to all my social media and post it. But I really wonder, where's anyone looking at it? And then I can, because I'm sure with the YouTube, you know, in the metrics somewhere, you'll be able to track it. I can now track on SoundCloud for the podcast. I can see who came from where. And I'll tell you right now, it's like 95% of the links to this podcast come from Facebook. So I know I better make sure I put it on Facebook each time.
Oh, okay. Because I think YouTube has like analytics and stuff like that, but I looked, but I'm like, okay, but I think somebody looked at my video.
Yeah. That whole world of SEO and analytics, it's like that's a degree in itself. And we just want to be artist cakey people.
Yeah. I'm like, they have to have people for this because I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I think there are consultants who will happily sell you time to how to do that.
Yeah, but then, I'm poor.
Exactly. Who has money to? If we had money to pay for that, we could just have the money to sit home and make cakes all day.
Right, and most of us can't. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, getting back to the cakes you make, man, you make amazing cakes.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. Some people like it. They can be misunderstood sometimes, and when you tell people how long you've done it, and they kind of have this look like, I don't understand. What do you mean? This is, last week was my fourth year. Yay, it's been 4 years. And I kind of learned on the fly. It was just one of those things. I actually didn't plan on making cakes. I had somebody else to make cakes for my back when I had what I call a late in life baby. I had two older children, way older. And so I had somebody make a cake for a baby shower. And I did what everybody else said. I saw this cake on Pinterest. Can you do it? And yeah, I can do it. So paid whatever she asked me to pay. And she had the cake and then this little foam ball, like a foam, not decorated foam ball. She had drew a smiley face on a foam ball. No fondant. It's just, she said, well, the fondant wasn't working. And I don't have a knowledge of fondant. Now I do. I realize you just didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Okay. So when my son turned one, I'm like, I'm having this huge birthday party. And I want to just, we went back and forth for weeks. I was like, I want this. It was pretty simple. It was like just laying down SpongeBob, yellow cake. Here's a picture. Can you do it? Yes. I like to do things in writing. And she told me she could. And 2 hours before the party, she dropped off the cake. I didn't look at it right off. I'm like, oh, thank you. Because I'm still running around getting things ready for the party. And I look at it. And it was the cake. It had been an attempt and I didn't like it. Okay. But the cake was just a white sheet cake. And at the time, I thought I paid a pretty good amount of money for it. But it's a small sheet cake. And it had two or three little figurines that you get like at the store, like the big box stores of SpongeBob. I'm like, that's not what I asked for. If you couldn't do it, why didn't you tell me? And I'm freaking out because I'm like, I got all this together. If she couldn't tell me, if this wasn't, she couldn't do it.
Right.
And so the next year, my mom turned 60 and I said, I'm a bit of a control freak. I learned. And I like to test. I like, if it goes bad, I know it's going bad. I don't need anybody. I don't like the surprise of it going bad. I just know because I was there. So I was like, I'm going to try to make a cake. I just figured out. So me and YouTube decided to make a Tiffany lamp for my mom's birthday. And it worked out okay. I'm like, and you're like, oh, wow, I can actually do this as art because I like to do other things, crafty arts. I like to make my own Halloween costumes, things like that.
Right.
So, and I'm like, man, this was actually fun. I wonder, can you just make stuff that looks like things, you know? And then I kept going. I'm like, it wasn't that I learned this and then decided. It was things I was like, I want to make this. Let me figure out how to make this thing. And that's how I kept going. Like the one in Austin, I saw the artist. I'm a fan of the artist. I'm like, I want to make that into cake. Mm-hmm. And then I work out that way. So it's been fun. It's been an adventure. It's been some disappointments. I've had cakes fall before, and it was embarrassed.
Yep, I've had a cake fall.
But I still love it. I love it.
It's actually, I mean, I've had a cake fall too, but I know on an intimate level how amazing you are at structure, because because the blue man that you had left at Austin, first of all, it was an amazing cake. Like, that was my favorite cake of the show. I took so many pictures of that cake, and it was just, because it was just so cool. It was just, like, with the glowing and the magnet, and we'll have to, you know, I'll find some pictures to post in the show notes, but yeah, it was just such a cool cake. And then, and of course, there I was talking to you about your son after class, having no idea that you had made that cake downstairs. But then, yeah, as a volunteer at the end, because you'd left it, we were trying to take it apart. We could not get that thing apart. You were like a goddess of structure. We were like, we were pulling it and wrestling. And it's like, oh my God, she has more metal in here. She has flashing in here. Look at this. This is amazing. This is the best built cake ever.
And it is like, because all I kept thinking, I refuse. Failure is not an option. If I lost the contest, if I didn't get anything, I didn't. Okay, but if it fell apart, it cannot. That failure is not an option. I was putting steel, galvanized steel. I was like, this cannot fall. It cannot. And I was like, that's all I was thinking. I'm like, no, wait, counterweight, weights and counterweights, which I've learned, things are top heavy, they topple over. Duh. But I found that out the hard way too, because I had a cake topple over. I'm like, I didn't think that through.
Was that your SoFlo cake?
No, the cake that toppled over, the SoFlo cake, the first one was Poseidon. Poseidon made it.
Okay.
But this last one, it was some airline mishandling. That was actually steel, something. There was a miscommunication and some things. They said it didn't fit. It did fit. They put it on the side and they put stuff on top of it.
Oh.
And actually did something to the, I had steel in one of those legs and it bent it. So something they did. That's a long story. We're still working on that thing, but that one just, we had gravity components to it because it was walking and things were going to be flying in the air. So all that went out the window, but that was not it. But cakes have done that on their own,
right,
without interference on me. I had made my dad this 70s Afro cake because it was just funny. And I got back home to East Texas and I'm like, where's the hair? And it just fell apart. I'm like,
oh,
I'm at the restaurant trying to put it back together. It was just embarrassing. So I'm really, really big on structure. Really, like, no, just think, at least keep it together till it gets there. And, you know, but yeah, I am very paranoid about structure and things falling apart on me.
Again, having tried to wrestle one of your cakes to death and it defeating me, I don't know what that airline had to do to that thing. Because, like,
I have no idea.
It was three of us pulling on it, trying just to get it that it would fit into a bin. And we just had to give up. And the venue staff had to say, no, we'll put it out in the desert. But, like, one of the volunteers was saying, oh, well, there's electronics in here, because if she doesn't want these electronics, I'll adopt the electronics. And I was like, yeah, they got to be in there somewhere. And it was so humid, as you know, in that show. Your isomalt that you had on the bottom was like goo.
It started to get sticky.
It was like I put my finger in it trying to hold the whole thing and my whole hand sunk in. So it's like your structure was holding up a cake that was melting in a room full of melting cakes. That was amazing.
thank you.
It was just so cool. That's so fun. And you had, because you had a snake cake there too, right? That one I think I saw you carrying out.
Yeah, because that had, it was animatronic, and that one kind of was, I didn't realize I had snapped one of the structures inside that makes it move, because it was actually hooked up to I don't know, some people are familiar with Arduino. It was a motor, and then I had programmed it's like a small computer microprogrammer, that the snake was actually moving. Because what I used like a FlexSeek, I used FlexSeek.
Right.
As the skin. So it could move like a snake, and I popped it, and I'm like, oops, that was just an accident. That happens.
Right.
Because it was my first time, but I thought it'd be cool, something that the outside skin that you can eat, but it's moving.
Yeah.
One of the YouTube videos I'm going to do, I'm going to rework it. I brought it home to try to pull some of the components out and try to redo it, but I had broken too far internally, so I'm going to have to redo the whole thing, so. I'm going to do either that or a dragon and show people how I created the moving structure. So that's coming up probably by the end of the year.
Oh, that's very cool. I did a snake for the Austin show the year it must have been 2014. It was the year we were in the mall. Because I do a homemade gummy recipe, and there's one I make with sweetened condensed milk, and it's disturbingly flesh-like.
Really?
The first time I made it, I was like, ew, I made really pale skin. Oh, I made real pale skin. It's like, you know, trying to tweak it with different colors to make it, like, I've made zombie skin out of it and, like, different, you know, tones of skin out of it, which is, like, so gross. I made a skin cake once. Like, it looked like, you know, like creepy Silence of the Lambs kind of nonsense. Like, it was horrible.
I'm so intrigued right now.
I'll make sure you get the link to that too, and I'll post the link to that. But so I actually think I haven't posted the gummy snake because I bought a giant rubber snake and so much composite mold. I mean, I have a vat of composite mold now, and I took I made a mold of the giant snake and then made a gummy skin. And inside I took the hard Charlotte pipe and made rings of it that were then rigged up with strings. And then I had that rigged. An Arduino makes more sense. I had mine rigged to a Lego motor and it was going through other pipes to like a puppet string on either side that was pulling the strings side to side. I'm doing it with my hands as if anyone could see on radio. But so it pulled the Lego motor basically just spun around and pulled the strings on either side and it made the snake move. And it was really cool for the first day of the show. But somewhere along the line, the motor started to grind and people were getting upset because in the room that had that entry, they were saying, there's the snake in there. And it's going, rawr, rawr, and snake should not go. So people were getting upset.
Oh, no.
I had to come turn it off because it was terrifying people. This growling, moving snake. It was just so weird.
Oh, you did one. I didn't even know that. I thought that was...
It was in 2014, but yeah, FlexEek would be the same sort of thing. Yeah, so... and an Arduino does make more sense because the Lego, honestly, it couldn't keep up. The weight was too heavy for that to pull. So, but also, like, to be really blunt, my snake looked like particular male body parts.
Oh my.
Like, it looked like a snake when you went up to it, but from a distance, it kind of looked like. Because I was, you know, I did that thing where, like, you know, the pythons hang in the trees, like they coil over themselves and then like their head sticks out. I did that, but from a distance, it kind of looked like, well, it was green. So it kind of looked maybe like the Hulk, if you know what I mean.
Oh my God.
There was a lot of wrongness.
That is hysterical.
From a distance. When you were close to it, you could tell it was a snake. But yeah, I got some weird comments about what that looked like and how it was growling and just the whole thing. It was ridiculous.
It's time for a podcast helpful reminder. Are you working on a competition piece? Are you working on a client cake? When was the last time you checked the rules for your competition entry? When was the last time you read your client contract to make sure that you're spelling that name right? You're working really hard, I know. But every once in a while, you need to pause, go check that you're doing it right. Because you're an amazing artist, but we all make mistakes. So right now, if you can pause, go check what you need to do, make sure it fits in the space that it needs to go into, make sure everything's spelled right, and then get back to work, because you're awesome.
You should totally do a tutorial on that. Yeah, that's a cool effect. And there are different edible things that you can put on the outside as long as you, I mean, I think more people don't know how to do the structure.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to do all that, like how did that.
Oh, you should. You should totally. I mean, I will happily help promote that tutorial because, I mean, I don't have time to do one. So. But I don't have mine anymore. Like, my parts are all long gone. I mean, well, the Lego parts went back to my kid's Lego bin. And that was the other thing. I couldn't leave that cake behind because my kid's Lego motor was in it. She would have been really mad. Mentioning my kid, I'm a big fan of your kid, as you probably remember.
Oh, and he loved you. Oh, my God. And We went to SoFlow, and I said, well, there are no kid classes at SoFlow for you. He's like, well, Miss Kim won't be there? I'm like, no.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm like, but next time you get to go. Is that next week? No.
Because he's five, right?
Yeah, he just turned six.
Okay.
And he was five at the time. And he, oh gosh, he loved you. I'll tell you, he loved you.
I loved him. He was so great.
I think he's thinking about painting. He's trying to figure out how to paint fondant.
Oh.
So we're trying to figure out how to teach him. I didn't want to use alcohol. I can use like the flavoring.
I don't paint with alcohol because I'm personally alcohol free. So I paint with water. You can do it.
Oh.
You have to be more careful. If you're thinning a color a lot, you can't put a lot of water on your fondant because it will eat through. You got to be much more careful if you're painting on royal. Like I tried a technique where you flood your cookies with white royal, let it dry, and then like paint tie-dye colors. And in that, honestly, it made the royal all speckly and not very nice. I mean, the cookie muggles didn't care. They ate it, right? It was for a charity sale. They all sold out. But like in terms of looking good for my needs or, God forbid, competition, there was too much water on the royal. So you do have to be more careful, and it takes a bit more practice, and it definitely takes way longer to dry. So it needs you need to plan a lot more, but you can do it. To some extent, the trick I've learned is to use the airbrush colors instead of the gel colors because they're already thinned. So, and then there are, spending money, right? But there are, I haven't tried them, the various paints that have been made for cake to go directly on with less than, unless you're doing watercolor effect. So, and then I've been wanting to try more cocoa butter painting. Because that's not going to need alcohol either.
You know, I'm actually going to this next competition next week in San Antonio.
Right, okay.
Because it's close by. And that's why I asked the question about the lashes. I kept seeing people put lashes on. And I was like, is that a thing?
Right.
And
because, yeah,
I
like,
said, well, maybe I'll try it this time if it's allowed. But if it's not allowed, I'll just go ahead and just do what I usually do.
Right, because, yeah, referring back to, because Mary Carmen has been on the show talking about what happened when she put the eyelashes on, and, you know, reiterating for the audience that for Cake International, Mary Carmen had asked, can I put FDA-approved eyelashes on? In other words, they're going to be food safe because they're body safe. And she had received an email back to say yes, but then they were disqualified her at the show and she didn't have proof. And so she was very upset. And she talked to the judges about it. And then sometime later, like months after the show, I think when she was doing some kind of visa application, she wrote to them asking some kind of question about her participation in the show. And they sent her a bronze award.
Oh.
Yeah. So she's not even sure exactly how that happened, like if they had undisqualified her or at what point. But that was the first she'd heard was all of a sudden they're like, yeah, here's your bronze. So it was very weird. So, yeah, that's because you'd posted that to a message board and I just happened to see it and know that particular answer for that thing. But I think that's why the moderator of that group was then saying it's not allowed at Cake International anymore. And it's probably because of Mary Carmen's story that I think Cake International has just reached a point where they just don't want to deal with anything that's a question. I mean, we can't even put pasta on a cake this year at a Cake International.
Oh, wow.
They've defined raw pasta as not edible.
So, I'm scared of Cake International. That's going to take me about another 5 years if I get enough courage to go over and do.
I do it because I live here, right? It's a two-hour drive from me.
Right.
I mean, I end up having to stay in a hotel, and that's my bigger expense. But honestly, because of the pasta, I wasn't even going to use pasta on my entry this year. I know what I'm making, and so I'm not even going to use pasta. That wasn't even going to be a thing for me. But then when I saw this announcement that they're not even allowing like the vermicelli hair and stuff like that, I'm like, but you gave gold medals to people last year who did that. Don Butler has won a Cake International show with an Einstein bust that had that on there. I have done that in the past. I've made like an ice queen, like she wasn't Elsa, but it was kind of Elsa-ish, and I made vermicelli hair. And you know, I've won a gold at a BSG show making vermicelli handles. You can eat vermicelli noodles. So why are they suddenly banning it? And all the responses I'm getting are, well, because it can hurt people's mouths. And if they bite it, I'm like, well, but so can wire. And you're not banning that. So,
yeah. Okay. I, They're, I don't know. Maybe yeah. somebody came up with this food they're not sharing or something, but...
I don't know. It just the whole Cake International thing this year, there have been a lot of discussions going on where people are very confused and getting really not the most supportive messages coming back. I mean, that same group that you just joined, there's the thread from a couple weeks ago where it was not a good message that came back. And a lot of us are kind of feeling like, well, we're still going because it's Cake International. But last year at this time, I was like, woohoo, I'm booking my hotel. This year, it's like, oh, I guess I better book my hotel. Yeah, I'm just going to make the figure I want to make because I'm a nerd and I'm making that figure and because I love that character. So I'm just going to do it. But I'm not even, I don't even care anymore what the judges think at that show. I care what the Austin judges think, but I don't care at Cake International anymore because I kind of feel like I'm never going to do well at this show. I just need to do it for me.
Right. That's a good way to go.
Yeah. But San Antonio, I mean, that's a, that is also a nice show run by very kind people. So if you ask them, I'm sure you'll get a good answer one way or another. Cindy and Amy, who run that show, are amazingly wonderful people. And in the absence of a rule, I'm fairly confident that they are not going to just instantly disqualify you the way Cake International would.
Oh, okay. But I didn't think to ask. It never, that's what I said. It never thought to me to ask. I was like, why did that occur? I asked on the board, but I didn't ask them. But, you know, going forward, if I don't ask them about this, I'll at least know going forward, let's say, can I do this? Is this allowed? You know?
Okay, I'm going to just go ahead and say every show, because I have not encountered a show yet where if you ask, you don't get an answer, at least an answer of a flat yes or a flat no. Because mm-hmm. I'm the weird one who's always asking. I've had back and forth with head judges several times because you have to be also sometimes careful that you're not describing your piece too much, right? Because right. the anonymity thing. So there was one, there was a British Sugarcraft Guild show where there was a cupcake thing, and the cupcakes had to be 6 cupcakes depicting a nursery rhyme, and they all had to be different. And they were to be in a display, but the display board itself was not going to be counted. Well, I decided I wanted to do Jack and Jill. Well, they're going up a hill, right? That's the point. So I wanted to make a foil base that the cupcakes would then sit on, going up the hill and then down the hill on the other side, and obviously cover that with fondant and stuff. And I wanted to be sure that I wasn't going to get disqualified for making a giant foil base, especially because I'd just come off of Cake International and seen all those disqualified cakes, and it had put the fear in me. So I emailed them and said, well, can we make an elaborate base? And she's like, well, yes, but it won't count. And I'm like, that's fine, as long as I'm not going to be disqualified. She's like, well, wait, what do you mean? And I said, well, I want to make a big foil base that's going to have flat bits for the cupcakes to sit on. And I'm going to cover that whole thing with fondant. And that will sort of match the cupcakes, but you can discount it. It's just, I think this is how the cupcakes need to be displayed. And she said, well, it sounds like you're going to put a lot of work in that won't be counted, but no, we won't disqualify it. And I was like, good to know. And I won golden trophy in that. So apparently it worked.
Wow, good for you.
Thank you. It was a small show, so it's not like there was, there were only three other people in the category, so it was not Cake International. It's not like winning gold at Cake International. It's really, really not the same. I've never gotten more than a bronze at Cake International. But, yeah, so most of the shows are pretty good about, as someone who answers those questions for Austin, if I don't know, if you ask on the Facebook, it's usually either Kyla or I answering. If you ask by email, it's Kyla. And if we don't know, then we go ask the head judge. Nick Lodge is the head judge, or we ask Jennifer, or we ask, or it goes to committee. Sometimes that's even happened. We've had questions where the whole board is like, oh, someone wants to do this. How do we feel about that? And generally, Austin's answer is, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I feel in your Austin. We had a misunderstanding. I guess I didn't understand how you sign up for the, they have this year, they have the special technique award or...
The innovators and all that
special
stuff.
It was for the gravity piece.
Oh, the gravity defying. Right.
Right. And I did levitation.
Yes, you did. And, you had that ball levitating.
Yeah, and it didn't get judged. And I'm like, why didn't get judged? She said she didn't sign up for it. I signed up online, but apparently somebody should have told me when I got there that I had to sign up again. I was so disappointed. I was like,
I'm sorry. Because, yeah, I think I'd heard that something had like that had happened. So what the failure there was at the registration point. When you came in and said, this is me, and they gave you your stickers and your badge and all that, they should have looked at the form and said, and I see you've signed up for a special award. Please go to the table down there, and they're going to, for Innovator, you have to meet with judges, so you have to go on a schedule. And for those other ones, we do those are different every year depending on sponsors, because they're typically sponsored awards. The only consistent one is Innovator, and that one's because of me, and I've won it several times. So I know that one more intimately, but so whichever one it was, you are supposed to go down and be on the list, and then the judge is supposed to look at that. So, yeah, I'm sorry about that. That is definitely basically registration's failure.
Oh, it was. I said, I'm disappointed, but it's not stopping me from going. I'm definitely going back.
Oh, good. Yay.
I'm not stopping. That was not, if I felt like it was malicious. Yeah, but that wasn't malicious. I didn't feel that at all.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'll tell you right now.
It was a misunderstanding.
If there was anything ever malicious judging at Austin, oh, that's getting rectified. Because Kyla and I and Irene, you know, all the people who've been on that show for a long time, we don't let maliciousness stand. We don't. We've had, I mean, and from anyone. We don't allow mean judges to come back if that ever happens. There was one year we had a competitor who was very upset that she didn't place in Showcakes, and she was also a vendor, and she was dropping F-bombs on judges right there on the show floor. Well, guess who was never invited back as a vendor? Like, because no, that's not okay. It's okay to be disappointed, and it's okay to be upset, but no, we don't let that nonsense stand. We've had, I've seen things where there was another vendor who had said really disgustingly homophobic things on her business page on Facebook. And Kyla and I were just on her page saying, no, this is not acceptable. You can't say this. This is inappropriate. This is bigoted. This is not fair. And she stuck to it. And she ended up going out of business. But I had said to Kyla, because I was still on the committee or the board at the time. And I said, if she applies to be a vendor, I'm going to pull a veto and say, we do not have open bigots at our show. That is not going to happen. No way. If you are dumb enough to put it on your Facebook page, I think we should say, no, you can't come to our show. So generally speaking, Austin wants to be a friendly show, but we will not be friendly to horrible people.
So good. Because if you have a thought, if you have an opinion, I don't mind that. I love people with different opinions, but not to the point of hatred or exclusion.
Because there's no need for it. You know, people feel already bad enough when they get a judging decision they don't like. They don't need to have meanness on top of it.
Yeah, and the first time I went, I didn't meet with the judge because I ended up, I was sick, so I didn't talk to really anybody. And that was the lady Afro. That was last year was my first time ever competing, because I enjoy competing. This time I didn't mean to speak to a judge. I think it was Don Parrott. I was kind of standing by, just kind of unhooking things, and he's like, hey, did you talk? I'm like, did you understand your score sheet? I'm like, I understood it. I did better than last year. You know, I'm like, it's cool. I got a silver. I tried, you know. And she discussed with me some things I didn't know. I mean, she was super friendly. I mean, willing to give any kind of feedback. And she was like, I didn't know if this was a no-no. Because I had like a little plastic tree for the sake of time. One was made out of like grape branches. One was made out of plastic. He's like, that is a big no-no. I'm like, I didn't know. I didn't think about it, you know. But because she told me now, I know. I would have never thought to ask. So she was super friendly and super open. I had questions, and I was like, oh, I'm just a hobby baker, because that's what I do. I work at a finance company, but I only do cakes on the side. But, you know, she was great, and everybody seemed fine. Like I said, I didn't feel like I was disappointed. Now, disappointing, I'm okay with that. I'm like, okay, it was just, but it wasn't malicious. I'm definitely going back. My son, he just cannot wait to go back. He wanted to go have a class with Miss Kim. He wants to have a class. And I love it. And we had a great time. It's going to be a yearly thing. Whether I compete or not, we'll probably end up going, you know, every year, buy stuff, have a class, hang out. You know, it's kind of a once a year family trip. Yes, kind of go to Austin and do the cake thing.
Well, like I said to you there, because yeah, when I was talking to you about your son after the class, I was just like, man, this kid is, he's really little, and he'd come into the advanced class and just knocking stuff out of the park. I mean, you know, like,
I never taught him how to do it. I never was like, hey, this is how you do this and this and this. I never taught him. I got him like a Play-Doh kit. Here's some Play-Doh. He's like, can I have some Fondant? I'm like, okay, I bought you Fondant all by yourself. Here's your roll mat. Here's your thing. Go at it.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. He's like, very good at that.
He is. I mean, I asked at the beginning of class, because that was the advanced class. And I said, because there were only two people in it. And one of them I knew, because she'd been my student for years. And, you know, she's daughter of, you know, one of the other board members. And she's also like 12. So then there's this little boy in here, and I'm like, oh God, he's going to have never touched fondant before, and I'm going to have to, you know, handhold him all the way through. But instead, no. I said, have you done fondant before? And he raised his hand, and he nodded very proudly. I'm like, all right, cool. And yeah, like, I mean, like, the skills were, like, exactly age-appropriate what you'd expect. But, you know, he listened, and he learned. Do you know what I mean? Like, more than I would have expected. I mean, I have, my daughter's turning 5 in a couple of weeks, and she would not listen and pay. She does cake stuff in here all the time, and she has fun with it. But she's not having that artistic spark that I could totally see in him. That's why I need to talk to this boy's parents or carers or whoever's going to pick him up and say, oh, encourage him. Because I didn't know, like, if this, like, maybe some families come in and they've never touched cake before. So there I was saying to you, oh, yes, he's really good at this. And then I go and find out what you're doing. And I'm like, oh, okay, she knows. she's a caker. She gets it. Because, yeah, he was just so... Like, I could see such the raw kernel of artistic talent in him and the understanding of composition. I mean, he doesn't have the words composition necessarily. You know, when we talked about what makes Batman look like Batman, of course, I didn't even know he'd made a Batman cake, but I shouldn't have been surprised. But, like, he knew,
like, nah.
You know, he didn't know the word iconography, but he knew what iconography was. And he knew that what makes Wonder Woman look like Wonder Woman on the Lego thing is because she's got the crown. Like, he was just, you know, question after question, he was just nailing it that he really got it. And he was so warm and so engaging. I mean, he was just like, it's every teacher's dream is to have a kid like that. He was just so amazing.
He's only like that with cake. Yeah. Everything else is like, are you listening? Did you?
Okay.
You get to the first sentence and the rest of it's trash because he didn't listen to any of it.
Yeah, well,
so
I get that too, because again, I have a 12-year-old and a almost 5-year-old. And so, you know, I might hear from my 12-year-old's teachers like, oh, she's, you know, really focused and pays attention well. I'm like, are you sure that's my kid?
You got the wrong kid. I'm sorry. Right. I'm going back to check.
Well, that's all the more reason you as a parent need to hear it, because I know I love it when I hear that my kid's done well. And he just,
yes.
He really, I could really see that he, yeah, because a lot of kids come to that class and they're just playing, and that's fine. That is part of what those classes are for. That's why we have kid classes. So it's not disruptive to adults when kids just want to come in. I mean, sometimes when I teach the ladybug class, there's like some kid is like, can I make a fire truck? And said, of course you can, honey. Whatever you put on your cookie, whatever you want, right? It's very open-ended. But he came in like a grad student comes in with the hunger to learn. It was amazing. It was such a joy and a pleasure. And I know I'd said to you and a couple other the students too who had been really into it. I always find a couple each year that I'm like, I can tell the ones who are into it and are going to come back. And I always like to say to the parents, if there's something your kid wants me to teach, get with me before about June or July, and I can build a class around what they want. And I'm not then requiring that you show up. But, like, that's the best way to find out what people want and what kids want. So if there's, I mean, it has to be something we can do in a short class, you know, and royal icing on cookies is bad because it's not dry. And it's basically fondant on cookies or fondant on cupcakes. But, you know, if he says, he wants to learn dragons or he wants to learn other superhero stuff or whatever, that's the kind of thing that we can tailor for. And that goes out to all the listeners too. If you're coming to the Ostrich Show with your kids and there's your kid really desperately wants to learn how to do, you know, plunger cutter flowers or something like that, let me know. We can make that class happen.
Oh, okay. I didn't think outside of that. I'm like, I think the themes, but yeah, that's a great idea.
Right. Because some of the classes that I've had at Austin have now gone for 2 or 3 years, and numbers weren't as good this year across the board, so not just in kid classes. So I'm kind of thinking I might need to redo all the classes in all that free time. I totally have. Oh my God. Yeah. You know, it's during the summer really that we're going to set the classes, even though it's not till February, because, you know, pictures got to be taken and samples got to be made and it's all got to go up on the website early enough. That was the other problem. We, you know, due to some other delays we had with some people who were supposed to teach kids classes, we had to end up canceling because it was December and they still hadn't got us stuff. And so we had to pull that and do other stuff. So this year I'm cutting it off and I'm saying, no, you know, August, we're getting all the class, kids classes, all the information. So I need to develop that stuff. So if there's something someone wants, I mean, that's the thing. I'm thinking what my kids want to learn. It's things like dragons and teddy bears, which I've already taught. Your kid probably, you know, some listener out there, their kid likes something else that I'm not thinking of. So tell me, and then
well,
I'll do
right
it.
Now, he loves superheroes, and it's been such a superhero year. You know,
right.
Because it's been, but things that are, you know, that's what he likes. I don't know what other kids like.
Right. Well, superheroes are generally very popular. We have to be a little bit careful of copyright. So
mm-hmm.
we can have superheroes that are just different enough that we're not going to get sued, kind of. Those of you who are actually working on a project right now, you're deep into it, you're working really hard, I want you to pause for a second. I want you to sit back, close your eyes, take a deep breath. No, come on, do this with me now. Sit back, close your eyes, deep breath. Working really hard. Stuff may not always be going well. Maybe stuff is going great. Whatever's happening, I want you now to slowly open your eyes and look at what you've made. Okay, maybe it's still got some problems. Maybe you're not done. Look at what you've made. You're so good at this. You are going to rock this cake. You are so amazing, and I have faith that you're going to get this done and everyone's going to love it. Well, so you've got San Antonio coming up. What else do you have coming up?
I have a couple of collabs coming up this year. I am thinking about going to Tulsa. I like competing. I like seeing other people how to learn other things. But Tulsa was the first time I did Tulsa last year was very hard.
Mm.
I didn't know what to expect. My cake was not as it should have been. But it pushes you. I mean, it pushes you like you would never be pushed in life as far as cake life. So I'm still deciding on that. But that's what I got going now in the cake world. Other things, I have other outside things. I'm going back to school for some other things. And that's about it at the moment.
At the moment. Well, I'm starting a YouTube channel. And
YouTube videos. Yeah. They're going to be awesome, hopefully.
Yeah. So what other than the snake, what kind of videos do you think you're going to be making?
Somebody, it was so funny because I used to wear like wigs, and recently I just decided to cut all my hair off, so I'm kind of like bald, and I love it. And she wanted me to make a lace wig, a lace front wig. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna figure this out. We're gonna figure this out together. So I'm gonna do that. The snake, maybe I'm still trying to debate. There's a bachelorette one I gotta do, but it's a little bit beyond what I might want to record, so
right.
I don't know about that.
You can always record it and then not put it on if you
right.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Oh, because someone was asking me recently about doing a tutorial and what advice I had for that, like a photo tutorial. And I said, well, my advice is take pictures constantly, because I do photo tutorials all the time for my blog or, you know, some magazines and stuff. Not very often. It's not like I'm that prestigious. I just donate to I just did one for the ISIS newsletter and things like that. And I find that where I fall flat is I'm making this thing and I know I'm doing a tutorial and yet I still forget to take pictures of important steps. And so then you have to describe it afterwards, which is really hard for the visual learners. So I was advising her, I was just like, just take pictures constantly. It would make it take forever, but just take pictures and then take pictures and then take pictures, because it's digital. You can throw it out if you don't like it later.
Yeah.
So for your video, just take the video on all the stuff you're doing, because worst case scenario is you go delete. It's not like you've spent a fortune on film.
Yeah, because I got a new phone, and I got rid of my DSLR camera, and this camera is amazing, so I'm okay with that.
And a tripod. Get a tripod.
I have tripods. I have like five.
Good, because personally, like I keep saying on this podcast that I like PME as a brand and everything, but I had to stop watching their lives because there's such wiggle cam. It makes me motion sick so bad. And I'm particularly sensitive to it, but I had other people look at it and they're like, no, that's making me sick too. And I'm not even that bad with it. So that's my big advice for anyone doing video is tripod. Even if you are going to move between shots or like you have someone filming it proper, even on like a proper full camera, that should still be on a moving tripod. Because hands shake.
Yeah, they're not as steady as you think they are. They're just not.
No. And I know they're expensive tripod systems and stuff, but even one of those inexpensive ones that, like, I have one of those ones that, I can't remember the brand name, but it's got, like, the little octopusy legs. It's got, like, it's three legs, but they're, like, little knobbly, twisty things. So you can twist it around your cupboard doors and film on your counter, or you can use it as a straight tripod, or you can, you know, curve it around like something up high above you if you need to. So it's not.
Yeah, I bought one of those also. They clip on side of the table and it's like a snake wormy thingy, but it clips on side of the table so you can kind of move it, but it stays still.
Yeah.
Once you get it where you're trying to get it to. So I like it.
Yeah. And I think I'm blanking now. Kyla had just sent me a link. There's a famous brand one and I'm totally blanking. She's like, you should interview this guy. And now I'm like, I can't remember the name of this brand. I'm going to have to.
Akron Mouse.
That's the one. Yes. They seem to be targeting cakers and video makers, but I gather they're very expensive. Archon Mouse.
I just like Amazon. I just use Amazon for everything. But some of this stuff was reasonable.
Archon Mounts. Yeah, that is. I just looked it up. Archon Mounts. So, I just looked at their Facebook page, and it's telling me, like, that 50 of my friends like this, which means they're probably all cake people.
Yeah. That's how I found out about it, and that's why I follow them on Instagram, and sometimes when they start a live video, I get a notification. That's why I knew the name.
Yeah, I've done a couple of little videos, but it's also really hard when you're doing it by yourself because, yeah, like you were saying, sometimes you need the camera to move. And if your hands are covered in sugar, then you either have to stop and do it and then edit it together, which, you know, that's video editing is also a skill that helps with, you know, making the YouTube videos. But if you can do things in one take, it means less work for you later.
Right. It really is. It's a lot of work to get it right and then. And I still didn't put my last few. I was like, gosh, that's not right. My voiceover was wrong. They were wrong. And the music was copyrighted. And I'm like, but I'm working on it. I'm getting there, though.
Yeah, that was part of what I had to learn with this podcast was how to find royalty-free music and, you know, make sure I'm not violating any laws in any country, right? But my business.
Right, because we're in different countries.
Right, because my business is registered in the UK, but most of my listeners are in the US.
Where are you located in the UK?
I'm in Cambridge. I don't mind at all. I'm in Cambridge.
Cambridge. Okay.
So just north of London, like 45-minute train ride to London on the fast train. Did you drive to SoFlo?
No. So SoFlo is like, I think, 15 hours. No? Yeah, 15, 16 hours.
Yeah, because there are people in Texas who drive there.
Yeah.
Like Dawn drove.
Who drove? Somebody else drove. I can't remember now. But she actually stays kind of near me, but she's closer to the south.
Right.
In Texas, New Brunswick. She's my Facebook friend. I just can't think of her name right now.
No, I know lots of people from Central Texas who drive to SoFlo because they don't want to fly with their cakes.
I don't even want to fly my cake no more.
Yeah.
I was so livid.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did you do this?
Well, did it cost a fortune to ship it that way, too?
A fortune? I think it did. Because the Poseidon, I actually checked that in luggage last year. And it was just a little over like $40, $40 here.
Okay.
And this one was 160.
Yeah.
Not as big, but 160 bucks. And they ruined it. And I did it this way just so it was called cargo. And I did it just so to be safe. I paid extra so to be safe. And they just kind of dogged it. I'm like, really? That's what I pay extra for.
Are you getting any kind of refund or anything?
There is a debate about the refund because I put insurance on it for $1,500. And I dropped it off. They measured it. Everything's fine. When I was getting on the plane, because I didn't fly American, they said, well, it doesn't fit. I'm like, what do you mean it doesn't fit? They said the height can be 60 inches. Mine is like 29 inches. They said, well, the bell of the plane is only 31 inches. I said, well, my thing is 29 inches. It should fit. And they said, well, we have to waive the insurance. I'm like, why? It fit. You shouldn't wait a minute. What's going on? And
yeah.
I said, go ahead and ship it. And they shipped it and they did something crazy to it. It looked like they kicked it. That's what it, because I had a window inside of the box, by the box, and the window was in. The window was not there. It was like pushed in. Mm. So it looked like it was kicked, but I wasn't sure. So there is a debate right now deciding, because they say I waived the insurance. I'm like, no. You told me I need to waive your insurance because it didn't fit, but you should have measured it before, which you did, and it did fit. You did something wrong. So it's a debate. I would never use them again, ever, ever, ever. But we're hoping for something. They gave me $7 back so far.
Seven? Oh, jeez. That doesn't even pay for a bucket of fondant.
Oh, yeah, I'm like, you could have kept the $7.
Oh, man. So that's almost like an insult. Well, I hope they come back with something better, because, I mean, that's the whole thing with airlines, you know. I mean, there was that whole United breaks guitars, and then, you know, with the guy last year, I was saying United breaks people.
Yeah. Oh, my God, United. I thought they were not going to recover.
Yeah, I mean.
But they did so far.
I've been flying British Airways since we got here, and I'm very happy so far with British Airways, but then I haven't checked any. I did check an entry to Austin once, but it was on plexiglass and wrapped in bubble wrap, and like it couldn't crack. It was an unbreakable kind of thing. Like my luggage would have had to be on fire to wreck that thing. So, and even then, like when I took it to the bag drop off thing, and I said to the lady, I said, look, okay, there's this weird thing in it. I've wrapped it, and if they inspect it, I need them to wrap it again properly. And so she asked what it was, and so I told her, but I brought pictures on my phone. I said, look, this is what it is, and if you need me to open it and show it to you, I'm not paranoid that it'll break in the hold. I'm paranoid that an inspector will damage it. And she said, no, it's okay, here, we're going to mark it. And she marked it as fragile, and it clearly didn't get inspected. But, you know, honestly, my bags have never been inspected going out of Heathrow, but they keep being inspected coming out of Austin every time. So, I don't know, I guess maybe it's just not so finicky on this end, but I have not checked anything fragile because I just don't think. I mean, first of all, I don't want to pay, because I know $160 was, I think, what Heather Sherman paid to go from Denver to Austin 1 year too. So that seems to be like a fee in the U.S. seems to be $160, but I don't know what it'd be from here. I'm sure it'd be hundreds and hundreds of pounds, which I mean, pushing the thousands of dollars. So no, like if my all of my Austin.
Yeah, I'm not competing. No.
Yeah, all of my Austin entries now, they are sized specifically to fit under the seat of a British Airways plane.
Good job.
Yeah, so that's I still need to do my blog post about how I made my box, because my entry this year for Austin, it melted on the show floor, but it got through a 10-hour flight just fine because I'd made this whole custom-made boxer. And I promised people months ago I was going to post that, and apparently now it's May, and
yeah,
I haven't done it.
When you do, let me know, please.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm not going to do it this week either, because I got my daughter's birthday party, you know, coming up in 16 days, and she wants an epic cake. because
she said 13, huh?
No, this is the one turning 5.
Oh, the 5-year. Turning 5,
yeah! Yeah. Yeah, no, the 13-year-old makes her own cakes now. She made a TARDIS cake for when she turned 12, so.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
so
wow.
So she's into doing her own thing now. And also because now her parties are the teenage parties, right, where it's just like one or two friends sleeping over, so it doesn't need a gigantic cake versus, you know, I because my 5-year-old is just, you know, this is her first year in full school. It's not kinder. It's like kindergarten, but they call it reception. She's in reception this year.
Okay.
So she wanted to invite everyone, and that was like 60 kids. I'm like, no. So I whittled it down to 15, but, you know, that's a lot of cake still. But, and all the parents come. Right. So
right.
I have to do, we're going to make a cake of all her favorite foods, but like faux food, like a donut cake with an ice cream on top and a watermelon and a croissant. And what else? There was a pizza and like, so all her favorite foods done as faux food, like all just as chocolate cake, you know, on the inside. So it's got to have structure and the whole, and I got to get it to the venue, which is just around the corner, but still, that's a corner I got to turn in the car, right? So I got to do that right now. So honestly, I'm not blog posting this week. That's not going to happen. I mean, I'm so glad you came on for this, because this is going to be for the May 31st episode, which will be after that. But I'm going to have this all edited and done in advance. So it was really good of you to come on early.
No, that's fine. Because I know I'll be busy after this with life. So
yeah, well, and San Antonio is coming up.
Yeah, I had started.
Oh, maybe I should let you go get on that.
I will. Well, I did start last night. I started the skull, and that's all I can say.
That's right. You can't reveal it because, you know, I think Cindy and Amy might listen to the show, at least when they're on, they listen to it. So yeah, you can't reveal yet. Although this won't air until afterwards.
Oh, yeah, it won't, yeah.
Yeah, so, because we're doing it nice and early, because you're so nice to me.
Yeah, and I love you so much, you're awesome. And my son loves you so much, yeah.
Oh, and I love you guys so much, too.
He's still talking about you. It's exhausting. I'm like, it's not time. I didn't even tell him I was talking to you today. I thought he wouldn't want to go to school. I'm serious. I did not tell him.
Oh, man.
I'll tell him later, though.
Well, you can tell him when it airs, and we'll say, well, here, we'll put this on there. Holden, you're awesome. I love you, man. There, we'll put that on the air. Well, he is awesome. He is awesome. He's a great artist. I can't wait to see what he does next, and I can't wait to see what you do next, because you're awesome and a great artist.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being on. Unless there was anything else you wanted to let us know.
No, not that I can think of, but that's how I work. I just never think of things.
Well, if you think of something later, you can always call it in and leave me a voicemail and I can add it on.
Awesome.
But thank you so much for being on, and good luck with all the shows, and good luck with the YouTube channel, and we will get people to subscribe.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Eat the Evidence podcast. A warm thanks to all of my contributors, and you can find out more about them and the things discussed on today's episode in the show notes by visiting the podcast section of the Eat the Evidence website, eat-the-evidence.com/podcast. There, you'll find social media links, as well as links to iTunes, Stitcher, and other places where you can subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. I've also posted detailed instructions on how to leave me a Facebook voicemail message and other options to call into the show. Please do feel free at any time to call in your very own cake formation, funny story, talk about a challenge you're having or have recently overcome, or rant about something driving you crazy. And if you like the show, please post a review on iTunes and share it with all of your sugar artist friends. This show was produced and edited by me, Kimberly Chapman. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, you are an amazing artist, and everyone involved with this podcast supports you. You can do it! Until next time, bye-bye, and good luck with whatever you're working on.
but I still love it. I love it.